Tonight we met people who came here to Holy Trinity Church to pray, donate, and see for their own eyes what appears to be a painting of the Virgin Mary weeping.
This is a fast day in the Jewish religion, and they are here to take their fast to the streets this morning, saying people coming over the border seeking asylum should be welcome with doctors and social workers.
The BJP is part of the Hindu right-wing movement, many supporters of which see India as a Hindu nation, something that worries the country's many minorities, including more than 170 million Muslims.
Welcome back to Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices. I'm your host, Amber Khan. You just heard a tiny sample of the thousands of news stories on religion and religious people generated by journalists over the past year. They are written and broadcast to impart information. But what else do they convey? Today, we've been talking about what we know and don't know about religion, especially minority religions practiced in the United States. In this part of the show, we focus on attitudes and how media coverage shapes our feelings about different religious groups. It is a question Middlebury College political science professor Eric Bleich has been trying to answer for the better part of 18 years. In the days after 9/11, he began wondering, is the U.S. media's coverage of Muslims as negative as it seems? To answer these and other questions, Bleich designed a study of four of the largest and most influential American newspapers, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, and USA Today. If you're thinking, but newspaper readership is falling, you are right. But these papers, Bleich argues, continue to set the editorial agenda for other media, and they drive the public conversation. His report, released earlier this month, contains some surprising results. I began by asking, do we know for sure that there's a link between media coverage of a particular faith group and public opinion of that group?
It turns out that's actually quite hard to pin down. So what we can tell you is that coverage of Muslims is really very negative. And what we can tell you is that public opinion polls show that attitudes towards Muslims are negative. And it seems quite plausible that there is a tie between those two things. We indeed believe that there is. But to make that connection as tight as possible, we actually did additional research that's not in the annual report, where we ran what's called an online experiment. So we exposed different groups of people to articles about Muslims that are very negative and some other people to articles about Muslims that are neutral and some other people to articles about Muslims that are quite positive. And then we asked them, how do you rate Muslims on a feeling thermometer scale of 0 to 100, where 100 is you're super, super warm about those people and 0 is icy cold towards those people. And that research actually shows that if you're exposed to negative articles about Muslims, you are more likely to rate Muslims lower in warmth than if you're exposed to articles that are neutral or positive. And then we ran it again for Catholics. So we expose people to negative, neutral, and positive articles about Catholics as a check. And it turns out that the same is true when you read negative articles about Catholics, you feel less warmly towards them than when you read neutral or positive articles, you feel much more warmly toward them. So for us, that is the kind of missing link. It's the tie that shows that when you read negative articles, you are in fact more likely to feel negatively about those groups than when you read positive articles about the same exact groups. Just for comparison's sake, I should say the number of articles about Jews are quite a bit more than Asian Americans, about, let's say, roughly 6,000. The number of articles about Muslims are even higher. They're about 9,000. But it is striking to know that articles about Muslims and Jews are very much more common in the American media landscape, even though Jews make up roughly 2% of the American population and Muslims make up roughly 1%. What that tells you already, or what it suggests, is that the articles about Jews and Muslims are very much more often about international events. And that's true of Jews and even more true of Muslims. So articles about Jews tend to be, I would say, roughly equally about events in the United States and events abroad. The abroad events are coverage typically of Israel-Palestine. The domestic events, there are two things. One is specific to 2018, and that is the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. That gained a lot of coverage in October and November. And the other, which may seem a little odd, is coverage of weddings and obituaries.
Weddings and obituaries. Yeah, let's pause there for a second. Let's just unpack the obituaries and weddings for a second. What did you learn?
Yeah, something striking to us, and I think counterintuitive, is that obituaries were the single most positive subset of articles about Jews that we found. And that's counterintuitive, or at least it was to us, because it's intimately linked with a death. But obituaries tend to praise the life of amazing people. And obituaries were, I think, relatively covered prevalently in the New York Times. They have a large obituary section. And those obituaries really touch on some amazing stories of amazing people. Somebody who invented the first true word processor, somebody who survived a concentration camp and went on to be a noted philanthropist. These sorts of stories are very positive stories because they talk about all the accomplishments of a life well lived.
And the coverage that was negative, you described the shooting, the hate crimes. The 2018 was also a year when we saw an uptick in hate crimes around the country. And I wonder if you found any correlation between spikes in anti-Semitism and negative coverage.
A little bit. I would say the topic of anti-Semitism has been covered relatively consistently over the last few years, but there was a spike in 2018. A lot of that had to do with discussions of the Pittsburgh synagogue shootings. And I think this raises another interesting wrinkle in the way we do what we do and how to interpret it. So I think when listeners hear that there's negative stories about Jews following the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, they would be wise to ask, well, what does negativity mean in that context? And we think about negativity as it can be a little complicated. So our system—
Or counterintuitive, right? Because when I hear that, I hear it's a negative story. Well, oh, if it's a negative story, it doesn't portray that particular community in a positive way. But if I recall, a lot of the coverage, especially after the shootings, were focused on the contributions or the rituals that the community was engaged in and the richness and the diversity of Jewish life in Pittsburgh.
Yes, so there were those stories for sure. I think those were relatively overwhelmed by stories that, just numerically overwhelmed by stories that recounted the horror of the day's events.
Okay.
At the same time, those stories portray the victims in a sympathetic light, right? So they're not stories that are negative about Jews. They are negative stories that touch on Jews, but the negativity is really about the perpetrator and the actions, not the victims or the victim group.
Or the feeling towards the entire community.
Right. And so the way we think about those negative stories is there's a kind of contradictory effect. And if there are a lot of stories that cover violence associated with a group, those associations may evoke sympathy in readers if the group, like Jews in this case, was the victim. At the same time, there is a long-term residue of reading negative words over and over again in stories that are associated with a particular group.
What's that long-term residue? What are you talking about?
Well, so if you think about stories about Muslims, if I can shift over to the Muslim examples, there are a lot of stories about Muslims that involve Muslims as victims of violence. And this was especially true, for example, in the 1990s. Let's just go way back to the Bosnian War, where Bosniak Muslims were typically the victims of violence by Serbs and others in that region. those stories may evoke a sense of sympathy for Muslims, and undoubtedly did among a lot of people. And yet, long term, 20 years later, oftentimes when people think about Bosnia or Muslims in that region, what they remember, if they remember anything at all, is sort of a recollection that somehow there was a lot of violence in that area and that Bosniak Muslims were somehow a part of it. So there's a way in which the negativity, the negative words can sort of settle as a residue in the back of your brain and be linked in some way to the group that maybe once was the victim of those types of horrific acts, but now you don't remember exactly that they were the victim.
So the details, the context over time may be diminishing in our recollection, but the sentiment that whether it was negative or positive stays with us is what I'm hearing you say.
That's right. So it operates on two planes. In the moment, I think many people would likely feel quite a bit of sympathy. And the long-term residue might be a double one, right? You might sort of remember, oh, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world and Jews are often the victims of that. That might be one thing that settles in. But the other thing might be a simple association when you hear about Jews, oh, anti-Semitism, oh, violence, oh, shootings. Those things may, without your even really being conscious of it, they may be associations that your brain makes between a particular group and, say, violence.
So I am curious, what did you find as you looked at the coverage of Muslims in 2018?
Well, coverage of Muslims in 2018 was more numerous than coverage of any other group in 2018, but it was actually less numerous than coverage in some earlier years. And it was actually more positive, but the real way to put it is less negative, because coverage of Muslims is by a long shot the most negative coverage of any group that we have ever looked at by quite a bit. Mm. And the reason for that tends to be coverage of foreign conflict zones. So it's not exactly easy to say, well, is this an example of Islamophobia or not, that Muslims are covered much more negatively? Journalists have a job and they're going to cover foreign conflict quite a bit. And if one of the groups involved in foreign conflict is using a name like the Islamic State, then those kinds of articles are going to be caught by our system, as indeed they should, right? Because that is a way that people are absorbing the idea of what Islam is. Most Muslims, in fact, all Muslims that I know, and I believe most Muslims in the world, would say that's not representative of Islam. And yet, by virtue of choosing that name, that is a word that is conveyed to the public that reads these newspaper stories.
I found the association and coverage between Islam and Muslims and foreign striking, in part because so many of the tropes and stereotypes that we've had other guests talk about as being problematic or challenging and contributing to a rise in anti-Muslim bigotry that has translated into a rise in hate crimes and attacks on houses of worship. A lot of that stems from this perception that Muslims are not part of the American story, and that the existence and the presence of Muslims is seen as foreign and other. And the coverage and the research that you produced essentially reinforces and echoes what I've been hearing from a lot of other guests over the last 2 years.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. If you ask Americans and Muslim Americans, do you feel that Islam is an integral and integrated part of American life? Most people say no, they don't feel like Americans believe that to be true. And so I think if we think about the coverage of Muslims in the American media that most people see most of the time, it is primarily about foreign locations and it is primarily extremely negative. So the lack or the, not the lack of, but the lower proportion of articles about American Muslims and about contributions that Muslims and Islam make to American life is an issue that I think many in the media are already grappling with.
That was Eric Bleich, Director of Media Portrayals of Minorities Project Lab at Vermont's Middlebury College. You can learn more about the project at www.mediaandminorities.org. Coming up, a legal scholar on how the anti-Muslim claim that Islam is not a religion threatens all Americans' religious liberty.